Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. We're hanging out with you until noon here on Sacramento's Sports Leader. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC will take you not into the weekend.
No.
Because we're not done after D'Lo and KC. Because we are carrying the Raiders versus 49ers preseason game tonight. 6:30 p.m. Raider Nation Radio. Niners at Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. Kickoff for that game is at 7 o'clock. Can't wait. Fired up.
Yeah.
The Niners are going to be playing their starters. The Raiders are not. I'm guessing the fact that the Raiders are not playing their starters could change how much the 49ers starters play.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they're just, if you're running out against backups who are running around trying to make a roster spot or climb up the depth chart, just I think increases the risk of injury a little bit. Versus it's just starters going out there trying to get a couple of hits in.
Yeah. I'd still do what I wanted to. Like, whatever you were planning on doing for the first quarter, just do that.
Although, dude, after the way the Brock Purdy stuff went in the second preseason game where he just looked like a mess.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say he did not. Well, the one throwback across the field was a disaster, but he got smoked on one throw as he was throwing. And then he got hit again. He got hit twice in two series. If that's how it's going to be up front, if that's how it's going to be with the offensive line, I don't want him playing more than a series or two.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe two series and then out. I want to make sure he has an offensive line in there too. I know that there's always going to be the situation that you don't have Trent Williams still. That's one that's just kind of sneaking in on the radar. Like, when are they just going to figure out the Trent Williams thing?
Okay, so here's the... So Trent Williams, if you've been living under a rock, has been holding out. He hasn't reported to camp at all.
Yep.
And it's been one of those things because the Brandon Ayuk one is the high-profile one. The Brandon Ayuk one is, here's this all-pro 26-year-old receiver, wants a new contract. Though there might be a trade. There's just all this drama, right? But the Trent Williams one has kind of been flying under the radar, even though it's a way bigger deal.
Way bigger deal.
From a standpoint of like the importance of the player.
Well, yeah. I mean, in all reality, I will continue. Trent, that is one of the most loaded teams we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. I mean, they have superstars at linebacker, at defensive end, at running back. Like, the best player on that team, I will still hold this to be my opinion, is Trent Williams. Yeah, like, for me, he's
like
not
pound
only...
for pound, yeah.
Yeah, he's the best player. He's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. And on top of that, he is the best at his position regardless of age. He's just incredible. And he means so much to that team. And we're just kind of like, he'll get there when he gets there.
Well, and so I think that's why it's flown under the radar so much.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, oh, they might trade him. They're not trading Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just get done, and he just doesn't want to participate in any training camp. So, but as we get to the Friday before final cuts, you're kind of looking and going, hey, are they going to get this done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, practices are over, training camp's over. If that's just what he wanted to hold out from, then you can get him back now. Hey, why is this not? Why have you not hammered this out? Why is this not done yet?
I just think he knows what he's doing, and he's a guy who does the work outside, and you know, he knows the scheme, and you don't want him taking hits anyways.
He wouldn't have participated much in practice anyway.
No, you're just going to put him in bubble wrap so he's not standing there on the sidelines.
But the fact that there's nothing done yet is the point where I now insert that into the Brandon Ayuk situation, and the Trent Williams stuff is still going on.
Yeah.
Because, hey, we're all done with practice. Where you at?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
I know. So, eventually you got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is that my theory is that it happens today. One of the two contracts happens today. And I think it's the reason I say that is the Trey Lance trade happened with the Cowboys the day of the 49ers preseason finale last year.
Okay.
It was against the Chargers, I think it was, on August 25th.
Okay.
And so I kind of think that might be some form of hard deadline for the 49ers where they're looking at this. They're going, okay, we have one preseason game to go. Then we have 2 weeks basically of practice before the regular season opens. So let's start getting some things done. Trent Williams hasn't even reported yet, so he's not even on the 90-man roster.
Hmm.
Final cuts are due Tuesday.
Final cuts?
Final cuts.
Wow.
Down to 53.
Wow. Okay.
So it's not it's final cuts to the initial 53-man roster. You can obviously cut and move players around whenever you want after that.
I always thought it was like it starts really big and then there's like a 10-man cut or 15-man cut and then there's a much bigger cut.
So there was. For a couple of years, you went from 90 to 85 to 80 to 53.
Okay.
But they have since scrapped that because teams need players, it turns out.
Mm.
Can you imagine if the Niners as banged up as they were this year had to also do cuts along with it? That would have been tough.
No, totally.
So they just went back down to the one cut, and that is Tuesday, August 27th. So I think today we'll get one of the Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams things ironed out.
Okay.
And then I would assume they'll probably aim to get the Trent Williams thing done first.
Okay.
Because then you put him on the roster and then cut someone to get him on the roster. Yeah. Because Brandon Ayuk is on the roster. He reported. Trent Williams is not. So he does not factor into the 90-man right now.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the Trent Williams thing gets done today.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I hope it does. I hope that they're that we know what's happening here. Like it, just this dark cloud hanging over them.
It's weird. I can't even here. Let's do this. I can't decide. We've talked about the vibes with the 49ers. Rank these things in order from worst, least concerning to most concerning.
Okay.
The Brandon Ayuk contract. The Trent Williams contract, Christian McCaffrey's injury, Brock Purdy's week 2 preseason performance, and the specter of a Super Bowl hangover.
Okay, so if I'm ranking them, like in my head, number one is clearly the Brandon Ayuk situation.
That's the most concerning?
Yeah, it's the most concerning because I think it's got the most variables.
I would agree.
Right? Trent Williams, I consider it like the most important thing out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, in the grand scheme of things, I think it's just that he's not.
You're less concerned about that not getting done.
Yeah, because I honestly just think he's not wanting to be at training camp. And that's fine with me because he's been through a million of them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that at like number 5. Although I think it's, I'll probably put it at number 4 because I think it's really important. I'm not worried about the Super Bowl hangover.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Super
Bowl
hangover.
That's number 2 for me.
Okay.
Ayuk is most concerning, and then it's the Super Bowl hangover thing.
Okay.
Because this is multiple years of deep playoff runs. That's more hits and more games on these players' bodies.
Yep.
You start to worry about injury stuff. They had pretty good injury luck last year. You start to worry about injury stuff. You start to worry about the team and just kind of human nature.
Uh-huh.
And looking around and going, wow, it's really hard to lose a Super Bowl and then go back. And now we have this Ayuk stuff. Oh, and Ricky Pearsall, the first round pick, hasn't been able to practice. I know the Trent Williams stuff. And it just, I think human nature starts to settle in a little bit. And now you see them, okay, they lost week 1 because the Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams stuff lingered. Okay, and now they got to get back. I am very, very deeply concerned about the Super Bowl hangover and the 49ers winning like 9 games this year.
Okay. I would even say for me, I don't know why I'm not just super worried about it. So I'm going to go 1 is Ayuk, 2. I know this sounds really strange, but the Brock Purdy performance just stands out as like, what are we doing? Number 3 is the McCaffrey situation because you want him 100% healthy, and he's a guy who has not been 100% healthy throughout his career. Then I'd say Super Bowl hangover. Then final one, I would say Trent Williams. Because, I just think Trent Williams is chilling.
Huh. Yeah, I've got Ayuk 1, Super Bowl hangover 2, McCaffrey injury 3.
Yeah.
And that's less this specific injury and more, hey, is this an omen? Is this a sign that, man, he had a ton of touches last year?
Yeah.
They had a deep playoff run. He turns 28, or he is 28, and now he's just already dealing with this calf thing. Number 4 is the Trent Williams contract situation behind that. I really think that's going to get done. Mm-hmm. And then 5 is Purdy's preseason. I don't care.
You don't care.
Much. Mm-mm.
No, I mean, that's very possible. And I probably would move McCaffrey number 2. Like, the McCaffrey situation, you're always worried about, like, what mileage does he have left?
It feels a little bit, we were talking about the Warriors some yesterday. It's not on this scale because the 49ers are just way more talented team, top to bottom. But it does feel like how you said, man, you take Steph Curry out of the Warriors and yikes. And I wonder a little bit if you remove Christian McCaffrey from the 49ers, not that it would be yikes, it'd still be good.
Mm-hmm.
But are they as effective?
No, I mean, that should be a major concern, especially with the running backs that they do have that have never really been able to step up. And none of them do sort of what McCaffrey does.
No, nobody in the league really does.
No. I would say, like, and that's where we've talked about whether Mitchell will make the team or not. And, like, Elijah Mitchell at least has that speed and that burst and all that stuff that makes you feel like, okay, he might be able to do, like, some third down stuff, but I would still be majorly concerned if he's not healthy. And
yeah,
like, look, like the Madden curse, it's always in the back of your mind. It's something that, I mean, it's not real, but it's, you know, it feels like it was real for a long time.
It's, you know what? I know it sounds ridiculous. It sounds illogical, but it's just there.
Yeah.
And it just, when you talk about vibes, because vibes are illogical. I want to let everybody know I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand it's not a real thing. It's just a feeling I have. My feeling about a thing might be different than person X, Y, and Z's feelings about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're just stacking things up about all the things that kind of have gone wrong or have been a little weird or just gotten off to a little bit of a weird start for the 49ers.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's another thing. Like, hey, by the way, there's also this.
Yeah.
Just, like I said, illogical. The Madden curse, quote unquote, has been, I don't want to say disproven, but like overcome. It's been fine, whatever. But when you start talking to me about the season and you throw that in, it's like, God, you're right. I got to consider that.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're both baseball guys, so we're both superstitious and we both look at it and like, at the end of the day, I know how much McCaffrey means to the team. And I think it's interesting the way that McCaffrey, like over the last couple of weeks, has been portrayed, even by like Kyle Shanahan, about just how obsessive he is about the game of football. And it makes you wonder, how long will McCaffrey play? Like, what is his, like, sort of, like, you always worry that, you know, he's the modern running back just doesn't last. And McCaffrey's got so, you know, when he does play, when he is healthy, he's got so much mileage. And I think that that's something that, you know, it makes sense that the 49ers draft running backs in the third and fourth rounds all the time. It doesn't make any sense that they can't get it right. But right. But I look at it, I'm like, it does make sense that they try to go out and bring in these guys that they think can help and take some of the pressure off of McCaffrey.
Yeah.
End of the day, there's no way to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really difficult. There's no way to find the next Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And you can do everything in your power to try to like draft running backs that you think might like fill the void, but when he's gone, it's going to be a gigantic hole in your roster, and you got to find a way to. You should have already found a way to replace some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want him running 24 times a game and then catching another six balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he should not get 30 touches in a game. And it's not because he, like, what he does with those 30 touches is amazing and he's incredible. But the fact is, like, there's only so many touches that every player has, right? As far as a running back, there's only so many runs, so many hits that you can take, and you're counting them up, and it's starting to get higher and higher at this point with him.
I'm trying to see. I'm not even that concerned about 30 touches in a game because I don't think he even got there last year.
Wow.
I'm looking real quick.
He never had.
No.
Wow.
But it is a lot of. Here's a 25. 23,
yeah.
23, 27, 21. It's pretty regularly up around or north of 20.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to see differently from them this year is not cutting it back because, again, he's just way too important to not have on the field that often. But can you take these 22 carries against the Steelers in a 30-7 win? Can that be 14? Can Elijah Mitchell or Jordan Mason handle 8 of those? It's the 27 touches in a 35-16 win over the Cardinals. Like, does he need those 20? Can we do 21?
Yeah. What are we doing there?
Can somebody else? He had 18. He had 20 carries in that game. That's what 21 carries in a 27-14 win over Tampa Bay. He also had 5 catches in that game.
Yeah.
31-13 win over Seattle, 24 touches. 45-29 win over Arizona, he had 23 touches.
Mm.
You know, it's those kind of games that I wonder, again, not saying to cut his number of cut his involvement in half. But can he get 6 carries for Jordan Mason? Can he get 3 or 4 carries for Elijah Mitchell? Especially in a game where you've got it put away pretty early.
Yeah.
And you're just burning clock for most of the second half.
No, I totally agree. And not only that, but you're so good offensively. Can you have a couple more games where it's a lopsided score and you can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Where you thrash somebody and mm-hmm. there shouldn't be the need to have him out there. And develop somebody. Develop somebody with, they need NFL carries. They need mm-hmm. NFL opportunities as a receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to figure out a way to do it.
I am kind of interested with their running backs tonight against Las Vegas. And again, no starters for the Raiders tonight against the 49ers at Allegiant Stadium. Aiden O'Connell's not even going to play.
Wow.
The backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew's QB1, obviously not playing. Aiden O'Connell's not going to play either, according to Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach. What I would like to see from the 49ers tonight is, well, Christian McCaffrey already know is out. But I think we're going to learn a lot about where Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell kind of stand.
Mm.
Because Elijah Mitchell has been hurt most of the preseason.
Yeah.
So what's his role here?
Yeah.
And if he plays tonight and Jordan Mason does not, or if Jordan Mason gets the first snaps of the game and then he comes out and it's Elijah Mitchell rolling with Cody Schrader and Isaac Guerrero.
Mm.
I think we're going to learn a lot about where the 49ers land with Elijah Mitchell because you talked about developing a running back. Well, Jordan Mason is the undrafted guy. He's been with the team for a couple of years now. This is year 3. I think he has 83 carries across 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's always run hard. He's always run well when he's gotten his opportunities. If he has surpassed Elijah Mitchell on the depth chart, and Elijah Mitchell's a good player.
Yeah.
But if he has surpassed him on the depth chart, I don't know what Elijah Mitchell does here. I don't know what his role is.
No, that's tough, especially
because he doesn't play special teams.
It feels like you're going to go, you might keep one young guy, and then would they keep Breida, who might be more versatile?
Maybe.
And I don't think that they're going to, I mean, I wouldn't just say, oh, they're going to keep him at all. But
yeah. But
we all know that Kyle Shanahan likes the backs that he's comfortable with. That he, mm-hmm. you know, how many times did he bring like Coleman back? And you're like, okay, what are we doing here? Why is he on the roster? And it's like, okay, sure. Well, because number one, Kyle Shanahan running backs get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Their zone blocking, whatever it is, like their guys get hurt. But mm-hmm. then on top of that, he always has this mindset of, let me stay with what I know. Let me be conservative with my roster construction when it comes to the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe he's more conservative in that position than any other. And maybe that's why some of these guys never develop, because they're never truly given the opportunity. Like, earning his trust is not easy.
That is my big concern. They spent a first round pick on Ricky Pearsall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pearsall had a hamstring thing. He had a shoulder thing. Has barely practiced and won't play at all in the preseason. We know this is a notoriously hard offense for rookie receivers to understand and to get and to grasp. Mm-hmm. So now you have this injury prone first round pick who may or may not even get enough reps to get on the field in year one. This is that. I don't want to overreact.
Yep.
But we talked about on, I can't remember if we talked about it on this show too, but we talked about it on Candlestick Chronicles for sure. Subscribe, rate, review, wherever you get your podcast. Isaac Arendo, but Renardo Green, the cornerback, second round pick. Dominic Pooney, third round pick, offensive lineman. Wide receiver Jacob Cowing. Fourth round pick. All have performed well enough in the preseason that their arrow is trending up.
Yes.
Again, not saying they're going to start and be awesome and be amazing, but like, their trajectory is on the right path right now, given what we know about them. Ricky Pearsall, it's trajectory down. Yeah. Isaac Arendo, fourth round running back, trajectory down. Malik Mustafa, another one trending up. But that's a problem, dude. Again, not writing off Ricky Pearsall. But when your first round pick looks like he's not going to be ready to contribute at all by the start of the regular season, that's a tough go, dude.
Well, I think it's a tough go, Kyle, because there were starting offensive linemen right there that could have helped you.
Maybe.
That would have been like starting.
Maybe.
There's a potential for that. Mm-hmm. And like, I think they've done well because Pooney does look like he's going to be starter caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But could you not have bolstered like your defensive line?
Well, that's like, the bigger deal, because we've heard from Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forster, the offensive line coach, going to get the playmakers before the offensive linemen. And Kyle Shanahan told Tim Kawakami, and we talked about it on this show, the TK show, an Odyssey podcast. But you and I talked about it, how Shanahan basically said, we thought the guys in the back of the first round had as much chance to be an NFL starter as the guys in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that actually tracks to me. But you just said it. Defensive line, they're defensive. We always talk, oh man, what a defensive line. It's like Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd and Javon Hargrave and...
yeah.
Like, they have other guys, Jordan Elliott and Malik Collins and Yeter Gross-Matos, and they have... But this, like, depth and this just crush of defensive linemen that they're going to bring them in waves throughout the game, and it's just not there. Their defensive line depth is just not there.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. They 100% could have gone that route instead at the end of the first round, and instead they picked up a wide receiver who may or may not be ready to play in year one or ever.
Mm. Tough, man. Right. Hey, like, look, that's in order to stay on top.
About the 49ers.
In order to stay on top, you can't miss in the middle rounds of the draft.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. And they found superstars there. Mm-hmm. What they haven't found is solid base hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. Like, you can't waste your third and fourth round picks and not have at least guys that can be rotational guys at crucial positions on the field.
And maybe they did that this year. Renardo Green might be good. Dominic Pooney might be good. Malik Mustafa and Jacob Cowing, maybe they're all good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And maybe this draft is going to be fine. But man, the Ricky Pearsall one is tough.
Yep. Right.
That got way off track.
Way off track.
I mean, on track, but further.
I don't even have today's rundown, so I mean, we're just going.
This is yesterday's rundown that I'm...
Yeah, we're just with. Like, whatever.
We're just winging it. that's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's a sponsor. The handoff, one of D-Lower Casey. I don't know which one. They'll be in about 20 minutes right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Theater.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You gotta Google it. Drew down in the chat. That was for him. That was a joke for one person.
One person. There it is.
At 95.7 the game, they have a drop of Trent Baalke with his super raspy ass voice going, "You gotta Google it.
You gotta Google it."
I can't do the voice. Yeah, shout out to Mitch. And Mitch, call in if you'd like. He's tweeting at me. So Mitch in New Jersey, people familiar with the show will know Mitch. He's tweeting at me, but there's something in Twitter called communities now. And I think it's kind of like, it's like a Discord channel kind of. So you can go into the Sacramento Kings community, for example.
Yep.
And send tweets into that community. Oh. But the only way you can respond to those tweets if you were in that community. And so Mitch has tagged me in the Clippers and Trojans, USC Trojans, have to specify, USC Trojans community tweeting at me, and I can't reply because they're in these communities.
Oh, that's weird.
Really, really odd.
Well, Kyle, clearly you should just join those communities.
I'm not going to actually do that,
don't
you know?
Join any communities, Kyle. You don't know? Don't do it.
I'm not.
Mm.
Why would I do that? No, I'm dead serious.
I'm with you.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, don't do it.
If it was, if he did that in the Sacramento King, like, sure, I'll jump in there and I'll figure out what I got to do to reply to Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't want to say I don't care about the Clippers. I don't want to be in whatever realm Clippers fans exist in. Same thing, USC. I have a couple of friends who are USC football fans.
Yep.
That's enough. I'm good.
Okay.
My mother-in-law went to USC, huge SC football fan.
Mm.
That's all I need.
You could have her go in and infiltrate the community and talk to Mitch.
I'm not going
to
do that. I'm not subjecting my mother-in-law, who I love very much, to Twitter. I'm not doing that. No, no, no. Absolutely not.
That's hilarious.
Should I? that's a good point by Polo in the chatty house. Kyle and Casey in LA. Yeah, should I just, okay, clip show.
Okay, clip show.
Somebody get it. Who is this? Hello. Don, you're on the Insiders.
What's
up?
How you doing?
Who is this?
Well, hey, I got a suggestion. If I was a Coach Brown, the first thing I'd tell the Kings, which is probably going to get us 1 to 2 more games, and that's what I was going to explain briefly on the radio.
Okay, that's perfect. Let me put you on hold, and the guys will pick it up for you, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, what you said your name was Don?
Sam, S-A-M.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Don. Hey, Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Hey, this is Sam, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry, our call screener got it wrong.
Don't call me late for dinner. Hey, listen, here's what I think about the Kings can pick up 1 to 2 more games. So if I was Brown at the very start of the season, I would say we're not going to be screaming at the referees anymore. If you have a problem with the call, they're not going to change it, so don't scream at them up and down the court. When there's a timeout or something like that, walk over and quietly talk to them and let them say why they missed it or what happened, and you say it, and then move on. And that will get us probably at least 2 50-50 calls throughout the game. But, you know, like, I hate to say it, but the big dummy, he used to scream at the refs every play, and that hurt us at the end of the game. So
Draymond.
If I was Brown, that's what I'd tell him.
Perfect. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. Sure.
Okay.
It's that easy.
It is.
Isn't that, that's one of those, the yelling at the refs thing is one of those things that as a fan, and there are people, Draymond Green, when DeMarcus Cousins was here.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, who just the whole game. And it's like, okay, this is a problem. But when it's, I understand though, because you're just heat of the moment, you're competitive, something happens and something doesn't go your way, you're gonna be upset in some way.
Yep.
And there are guys who don't. There are guys who, you know, they might look at the ref and toss their hands up, but then they go on about their day. But man, I get it. When if you're De'Aaron Fox and you do a rip through move and you get hacked and there's no call and now it's 2 points the other way when it should have been 2 free throws for you, I understand you're mad. I get it. Like I said, it can be frustrating as a fan. You're going, hey, get back and just go play. Da, 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 da. But when you're heat of the moment, man, I can't begrudge somebody who's fired up at the ref.
Yeah, I would say this too. Like De'Aaron Fox is a guy who, like, year in and year out has a lot of technicals, right? Like, he, I don't want to say he's a league leader, But last year, he was tied for the 10th most technicals. You know who De'Aaron Fox had as many technicals last season as Draymond Green.
Well, Draymond Green also played like 18 games because he was suspended.
No, that's true. He played 55 and Fox played 74. Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, they all Nick Claxton, which is a surprise. They all had 10. You get all the way up to like Dylan Brooks had 15. Anthony Edwards had 15. Luka had 13. But Fox is a guy who knows exactly what to say when he's pissed. He doesn't bemoan the situation. He goes over and says, whatever choice right. words
magic
to...
Magic word, magic word, magic word.
Magic word, magic word, magic word. Give me a tech. And that's what happens. And on occasion, he gets fired up. There are officials that he doesn't like and that don't like him. And there's even one official that isn't fond of his wife, and they've got into it on the sidelines. Like,
is it Tony Brothers?
No, it's not Tony Brothers. Like, I don't think Tony Brothers actually knows where he's at when he's on an NBA court.
He's just vibing.
He just happens to be somewhere and like has a whistle.
Oh, whistle.
I think I'm just going to blow this whistle. Yeah. But no, there's a couple of officials that, like, again, DeMarcus Cousins got thrown out of a game at halftime by Scott mm-hmm. Foster one time. I think they're playing Utah.
During halftime. Not got thrown out of the game at the end of the half. No, like...
The half ends...
Right.
He goes over after the half ends and yells at Scott Foster and gets ejected during halftime.
During the half.
Come out of halftime and DeMarcus Cousins is no longer on the court.
No mas.
So, like, there are these love-hate relationships, but at the same time, like, call it fair, and I don't think you have a bunch of problems. And I'm intrigued to see how the NBA officials call this season from start to finish.
Me too, man. Is it going to be how it was in the second half of last year?
I loved it.
It was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was that way again. I think Adam Silver had such genuine disdain for the All-Star game in particular. But the way the sport started to be played, where it wasn't trying... Look, if you're... I'm going to pick De'Aaron Fox here because we're in Sacramento. If you're De'Aaron Fox and you blow by the first defender and you get to the rack, center comes over late, hits your arm as you're going up for a layup, you get fouled, cool. That's fine. I don't mind that. It's the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh.
It's the, okay, you get by your first defender, but then you slow down to get the guy on your hip and you stop and you try and like lean into him to draw some contact. And then you hold the ball out as the center comes over because you're trying to draw that contact. It's you're driving to draw contact.
Mm-hmm.
You're not driving to score and then drawing contact because you've done all the right things offensively. I think Adam Silver has such a genuine disdain for the type of basketball that is not, hey, I'm going to use my skills to get a bucket. It's, I'm going to use my skills to bait a foul. And I think the All-Star game and the lack of trying in the All-Star game just sent him over the edge, where I think we're going to see this year, there's going to be whatever edict got sent down from the league in the second half of last year, I think is going to be like, nope, do it again. The whole year.
I hope so, because I think what Adam Silver saw in the All-Star game was, I can't let my game become this.
Yes.
And it sure as hell is looking like this in game 42 of the regular season and game 12 of the regular season. It's looking just like that, where the offensive numbers are so outlandish and crazy. We talked about it, you know, the Kings at the all-time mark with like 118.6, all-time highest offensive rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next year, it like... 4 points higher.
Yeah, they were like 8 of the top 10 offenses in the first half all had a higher offensive rating
than what the Kings had.
Yes.
It was so outlandishly crazy, and I don't know if it's like players are figuring something out and it's opening some door, but whatever it was not the game of basketball that people are used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was very, very alarming for Adam Silver. And then when you got to the All-Star game and they tricked off the All-Star game, you instantly started saying, that is not where I want my game heading.
Dude,
and you better play defense.
When he hand, and he's like, congratulations on scoring the most points, I guess, or whatever he said. It was, he was pissed.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
At all. Like, I for me, like, go out there and play the game honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, play defense.
That's it. Yeah. I would so much rather, as a viewer of the sport,
mm-hmm.
I would way rather walk away from a game going, man, they didn't call a lot of fouls tonight. Instead of, man, they called a lot of fouls tonight.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, I would rather, if you're going to lose a game, I would rather lose a game because the refs let the guys play at the end than lose a game because foul grifting allowed the other team to win.
Yes.
Like, that's swallow the whistle versus a phantom whistle.
No, totally. Some point, you've got to balance out the game and balance out the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't let the game, like fall apart. You can't let it become
reel
something.
It back in.
Yeah, you do.
The guys are just, honestly, guys are too skilled now.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards just brought this up, and I know it became a big topic of conversation because he said in the NBA, Michael Jordan used to be the only guy who had skills, which is not the case. But the overall theme of the league is just more skilled now. Yeah, that tracks. That's just kind of how the game evolves.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've told this story before. Like, Chris Gent told me, I said, you know, you're a guy who played with Hakeem Olajuwon, mm-hmm. and now you're coaching DeMarcus mm-hmm. Cousins. And he laughed. He's like, dude, Hakeem couldn't dribble the ball twice.
Right, right. He had post moves and skills, obviously. He was incredible. And
Hakeem
incredible
is one of the greatest players the
Correct.
Game has ever seen.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Top 25 player of all time.
But seven-footers putting the ball on the deck and being able to dribble and shoot threes, like, just, right?
Yeah.
So you cannot also have that so it's harder to defend than ever. Teams are using more of the floor than ever. You can't also have all of that coincide with, yeah, every toss of the head, every touch, every throwing the ball in the air and screaming is a foul. That cannot also be happening. Because what is a defense to do now? You can't touch a guy, and also you have to defend every inch of the floor, and also every player can dribble and every player can shoot. And also, by the way, don't touch anyone ever.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's stupid. So I hope Adam Silver genuinely sees it that way, and that wasn't like a, hey, gonna send a message in the second half of the year, but then we'll go back.
No.
Like, no, dude, let it be that way. It's such a better product.
Yeah, it's such
so
a better product.
So much more fun that way.
Yeah, and it balances the game.
Big time.
Because way, you can't just have the five best offensive players in the league
mm-hmm.
on the court, or your five best offensive players, mm-hmm. and just like, oh, we're just gonna score.
Right.
You have to actually balance your team mm-hmm. and have players who do the dirty work.
Yeah.
Like the way it was heading, it decreases the value of players so much, and players get away from who they've always been so much that it just completely wipes out the need for offense, for defensive players. It's just totally bizarre.
No doubt. Before we get to the handoff, let's get to everybody's favorite segment of the week. It's Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what do you got for us?
Kyle and James, how we doing?
Doing great.
You know, I was just teasing, but I always, it blows back in my face. You said something about USC. It's like, why do I have to send tweets? It has to be everyone. So I got two other communities, USC and
the Clippers.
I got the other one. I don't remember.
I just want you to know, when you do that, Mitch, I don't mind. I just can't respond to you.
Oh, I can't. You can't?
No, because I'm not in those communities.
This X is getting harder.
I know. I know it. What do you got for us, Mitch?
Hey, you were talking about 49ers. I think they just better cut bait. Get something for Ayuk. Because I like the Debo running back. At least they mentioned Sloan team and Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And Debo and McGrath. Oh, God, I screw up the name again.
McCaffrey.
Chris McCaffrey are like interchangeable. You have to go all the way, but I have a feeling that Kansas City guys can win. Oh, my God, I'm losing train of thought here.
It's all good, Mitch. I do it every day.
McMullins. Oh, my God. I need a weekend. I need a rest. Thank you so much.
We'll see you, Mitch.
We love you, Mitch.
It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway. I'm really glad you got to experience that.
Mitch
with us.
Is my dog. Well, I didn't because I don't have any earbuds in. And it's the one time I don't have no earbuds in.
Oh, I thought you, because you were laughing at all the right times.
No, because I was listening. I faintly heard him, and I was like,
yeah,
it's just Mitch.
Famous 49ers running back, Chris McGrath.
Yo, come on, man. Chris McGrath.
Nobody said he kept. So he stumbled over his words and then tried to like correct himself, but then also continue. He just said at the end, he's like, you know what? I need a weekend. I'm out.
Yeah.
My man.
He bailed.
That's my dog.
Shout
man.
Out to Mitch.
Mitch, that's my boy.
Everybody's favorite segment. I don't even know. We got some Raiders Niners tonight.
Raiders Niners tonight. I mean, so what's
season finale?
What's the word? I'm hearing AP, Coach AP,
mm-hmm. Antonio Pierce.
None of his guys are playing.
Not even Aiden O'Connell.
Not even Aiden O'Connell. That's crazy. No.
Niners are gonna play some starters.
Okay. How long do you think they're gonna play? I'd say two series.
That's what I think. I said this earlier. James disagreed, but and he's probably right. I think if the Raiders were playing their starters, mm-hmm. I think maybe the Niners starters go a third series, mm-hmm. just because the Raiders starters are out there, they're just trying to get some work in. But when it's backups and it's reserves and it's guys fighting for roster spots and it's Niners starters who maybe aren't going as hard,
right?
Like does that make sense? Maybe I'm oversimplifying it.
No,
I think two series is where they're hoping to land.
It's almost, and James, you'd understand this too. It's almost as if you wouldn't want De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis playing in the summer league.
Right? Exactly. You know exactly.
Because those guys in the summer league are a little more dangerous than even mm-hmm. regular NBA bench guys, because they're fighting for everything. They're trying to make mm-hmm. a name for themselves. So you don't want those guys out there too long.
It's even like the first preseason game in basketball. You know, maybe eight minutes, 10 minutes per guy, mm-hmm. and then you're done. Like mm-hmm. you don't want them playing a bunch in the second half because you still do have a couple of guys on the roster that are trying to make it,
right.
And you're like, okay, let's be a little more cautious with who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just progressively grow. And by the last preseason game in the NBA, well, the fourth preseason game, if there's five, they usually build up mm-hmm. and guys are playing like, you know, 24, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you just pull back a little bit for the final game because you don't want anyone getting hurt and you go into the regular season. Mm-hmm. But like the NFL, I think you do need to get hit. You don't need four preseason games. You do need to see a bunch of these guys because you have such a huge roster, 37 guys who aren't on the main roster, and
right.
they're going to be fighting for positions. Mm-hmm. But you also have to understand that late in a game, especially the final preseason game, there's always like four guys who get hurt that are like, oh, and they're not getting up, and you got to cart them off, and they're guys that weren't going to make the team but are now getting an injury settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all of that stuff that's going on. Yeah. But you also don't want someone taking someone's head off because they don't know what they're doing and they're trying their best to go win a spot. And it's like, man, you just hurt somebody bad.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah.
So.
That's facts.
Yeah.
That's facts.
I'm right there.
Hey, I got a question for you. We'll
please.
Try and, you know, get the answer in for both of you guys.
I don't even know what time we're out is. So you let it rip and I'll figure out when we need to be out.
Yeah.
Who's the best coach alive, best football coach alive, like that's active?
So Belichick doesn't count?
No.
Andy Reid?
Okay.
Sean McVay's probably up there?
Yeah.
Sean McVay's a really good coach.
Yeah, yeah. I think Andy Reid.
Tomlin.
Yeah.
I think, dude, here's the argument for Mike Tomlin.
Mm.
Bro has never had a losing season.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know how long he's been the coach of the Steelers?
Mm.
And he's never had a losing season. I know we get so obsessed with offensive minds, and that's Andy Reid, and it's Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay, and that's the way the league is going right now. Mm-hmm. But to be in the NFL for as long as Mike Tomlin had, not 1 year where, you know, everything went wrong, and they went 4-12.
Mm-hmm.
Not once? That's coaching to me. Mike Tomlin's the man.
Well, look at some of the quarterbacks he's had to run out there since the Roethlisberger era.
Exactly, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Nine wins?
How is it
that
you get to 500 with Kyle Rudolph or with... Pickett
Duck
or,
Hodges.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Man, they've had some
Mike
absolute
it might be
trash.
Mike Tomlin.
I only...
John Harbaugh's a good coach, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Underrated. Who are you thinking?
We went. I'm just saying, I like the Tomlin suggestion. We went about four or five coaches before we said Kyle Shanahan? Really?
We went through this the other day with the ESPN
well,
ranking yesterday, right?
Mm. Yeah, we got to go. You want to hash this out?
No,
we'll
talk about it. Okay, there's about 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 coaches before we say Kyle
I have
Shanahan.
So many thoughts.
That's what we're doing?
I have so many thoughts on this. Okay. I have a lot of thoughts
okay.
on this.
Okay.
Me and Kenny continuing this conversation coming up. D'Lo will also be here.
James will be here at 3, and
James
we'll talk about it more.
Here we go. All right.
There we go.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. Appreciate it, everybody, for tapping in this week.
Special
everybody
promotion
great-
going
okay,
on right
here.
Now. Purchase a Pennzoil Platinum full. 54 today.
That went to break.